is Mark Strassman, reporter with Utopia News' California Politics. Today we're about to speak to Tom Dressler, who is a spokesperson for the California Attorney General, Bill Lockyer. Welcome back to California Politics today.
Thank you.
Now, we're going to talk about allegations that a private investigator hired by Hewlett-Packard used pretexting to investigate leaks from the board. Can you tell our listeners what pretexting is and whether and in what way it's illegal?
Well, pretexting basically is a fancy word for lying, pretending you're somebody else to gain access to their personal information that's protected by confidentiality. And in this case, the investigator and or subcontractors allegedly pretended they were HP board members, for example, or reporters to gain access to their calling records.
And do you know any more about the details about how this was allegedly done, that how they represented themselves and how they were able to convince, presumably, the phone companies that they were legitimately entitled to their own alleged phone records, or what exactly do you understand they were trying to do?
Well, we're still investigating, so we don't have all the facts in, but generally it was, they got a piece of personal identifying information, for example, some part of a Social Security number.
Right.
What have you. They then, either directly accessed, used that information to directly access online accounts.
Right.
With AT&T. Or they, in some cases, called, again, pretending to be the person. They called AT&T. Talked to a customer service representative, and because of the information they had ripped off, convinced AT&T they were the customer. Set up an online account.
Were there allegations that they got the personal information that allowed them to operate under the pretext that they were entitled to the information from the executives of or board members or the chairman of the board of HP?
No, I'm sorry, I don't quite understand that question.
So, if they had, say, a partial or a complete Social Security number for a board member, that would obviously be available through HP if access was...
But you can get Social Security numbers through a variety of means.
Oh, okay.
We're finding out that they're actually pretty easy to...
Okay.
Now, unfortunately.
Right. Now, what you just described, this pretexting, sounds like it's wrong, but is it illegal?
Well, we are... There's no California statute that per se says pretexting is a crime.
Right.
However, in this particular context, we believe that crimes have been committed. We're looking at, to be more specific, are three and possibly more penal code sections.
Can you tell us the numbers and what they are?
There's two of penal code section 502 C1 and C2 that, taken together, what they do is say you cannot gain unauthorized access to computerized data.
Okay.
And then use that data.
Is that a relatively new law?
I think these go back to the mid-80s.
Okay.
So they're fairly, they've been around for a long time. And then the other one that we're looking at is Penal Code Section 530.5, and that's our general ID theft statute. And what that says is that it's a crime to, without permission, obtain somebody's personal identifying information and then use that information for any unlawful purpose.
So, in a sense, this is an alleged identity theft case.
Correct.
Who is it alleged is responsible for this?
We're in the middle of an investigation, so it would be inappropriate to comment about any particular entity or individual
okay.
that may be culpable.
Okay. Can you say how the case came to the attention of the Attorney General's office?
We received complaints about calling records being accessed.
Okay. Presumably by the people whose records were being accessed?
Yes, as specific as I'd want to get.
Okay. And can you say anything about the journalists who were involved in this and whether there's any particular protections for them against this kind of activity, or whether they're just protected by these penal statutes that you already mentioned and the way everyone else is?
Well, there's the First Amendment role of the press.
Right.
Adds to the a different injects a different element in of the atmospherics of the case, but right. in terms of determining whether the law was violated, they're, you know, just like any other person.
Okay. And is there a timetable in your office for the for proceeding with this investigation, gathering information or considering it or deciding whether you're going to prosecute anyone?
We'll continue our investigation for as long as we need to gather sufficient evidence to determine how we want to proceed.
Okay, and I read today that the Securities and Exchange Commission has informally contacted HP about this. How would the Attorney General's office coordinate with the Federal Securities and Exchange Commission in terms of turning over your records to them or their cooperating with you? Is there a precedent or structure for that?
There's a lot of federal entities that are now that have initiated investigations or inquiries, SEC being one, the U.S. Attorney, FBI, Congressional Committee got into the game.
Do you know which Congressional Committee that was?
I apologize, I don't.
Okay, and you know which U.S. Attorney for San Francisco?
Yeah.
Or San Jose?
I assume, yeah.
Okay.
The Northern District.
And the FBI.
Yeah, and so, and you know, it's our practice generally to, you know, consult as requested and as needed with our sister law enforcement and regulatory agencies.
Okay, can you say anything about whether pretexting is a widespread or growing phenomenon, whether this puts it on the map? I'd never heard of it before.
Well, I think pretexting has been around for a while, you know, in terms of its use by institutional entities like private investigators.
Right.
It's online. The online element is, I'd say, fairly new.
Right.
And these online data brokers, for example, were proliferating for a while.
Right.
But Locke here and his fellow AGs in other states have worked hard to try and crack down on this pretexting problem. And so some of the online data brokers have gone out of business.
What kind of strategies does Attorney General Lockyer and his fellow attorney generals employ in that regard?
Well, I mean, it's like any other enforcement problem. We, you know, find entities that we believe are breaking the law. In a lot of cases, it's civil enforcement actions as opposed to criminal.
Right.
This is a fairly rare in terms of you know, the criminal aspect of it. For example, we brought a case Lockyer did back in March, a civil lawsuit against a Florida-based data broker. So more typically, they're civil enforcement actions, and you know, it's just a matter of you know, devoting the resources, making it a priority to protect the privacy of California citizens and citizens in other states.
Yeah, is this pretty much within the first case of this kind where a corporate board has been involved in this?
To our knowledge, yes, it is.
Okay, and just generally...
I guess I should say it's the first time that anyone's been caught.
Ah, okay. Have you been getting a lot of calls from the media about this? Is this story running more than...
I've been working here for 3 years.
Right.
Since, actually 4 years now, since 2002.
Right.
And I can't remember a case that has drawn as much press attention.
You have any theories about that? Why?
You know, it's got a lot of elements, you know, corporate intrigue, you know, privacy. Again, in California, we hold our privacy rights dear.
Right.
We're the only state that's got a... right to privacy in its constitution.
Right.
And, you know, we're dealing with an icon of California, corporate California.
Okay, good. All right, I want to thank you for talking to us, and maybe if things develop further and you can say some more, we can talk later.
All right, Mark.
Thanks a lot. Okay, bye.